Good evening.
We are starting a new book, Sefer Bamidbar. וידבר השם אל משה במדבר סיני באוהל מועד באחד החודשים שנה שנצאתם לארצם לאמור שאו את ראש. And again they count Am Israel and they say that why is all this counting going on all the time? So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein said it's like he one day is going near the bank and he sees this guy coming out of the bank counting the money he's got. Okay, he counts the money, and then he sits on a bench, and he counts the money again. He gets up, goes another 100 meters, sits on another bench, and takes the money out, and again counts the money.
He thinks it's going to grow.
He likes the idea, he's got the money, and he counts the money, because he loves money. And then he thought, now I understand why the Kodesh Baruch Hu is all the time counting us, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us, and when you love somebody, you want to check that everything is okay, so he's checking all the time, all the... Yes. So people, when they talk about money, people understand what you're talking about. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, because of his love, is always counting us to see that everything is okay. But there is a lot of other things in the counting, because counting from one side is very dangerous. You're not allowed to count like people. You're not allowed to count.
Not one, not two, not three.
Yes, you're not allowed to count. Why are you not allowed to count? Because when you count, there is ayin hara. There is whatever it is, we're not going to go into it now. Here, one of the interesting things is that when we count Am Yisrael, we see that the exact number that it was in the last counting, which was not a long time ago, and everybody's asking, how can it be? Because there was Midrash said there was a miracle, and all the time they built the Mishkan, which we were reading it in Sefer Vayikra, nobody died in Am Yisrael. But if we see that the counting before building the Mishkan and after building the Mishkan is the same, it must be that people did die. Because if nobody grew and become people must become 20 in between the time. And if nobody is being added, it means that people did die in this period of time.
So there was no newborns?
That's what I'm saying.
So if it's the same number, it means that there is a problem, that there are people missing. It's not that there are more, there are less. Because they're counting from the age of 20. So in between, some of them must have come to the age of 20. So one of the explanations is that they were not counting this way, because they're counting, let's say, from Nisan to Nisan. So in other words, if there are two countings in the year, they don't count, if somebody went become 20 and Chodesh of Sivan or Tammuz, doesn't care, because they're only counting those who were at the age of 20 in Nisan. So even though that after Nisan they become age of 20, they still being counted like they are before. That's one of the explanations. But the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says a very simple thing. If we look at the counting in the last time, the Levim were also counted, but in this time, the Levim are not counted, they are counted separately. In other words, the number that is equal to the last number means that they multiply quite a lot, because last time it was with the Levim. This time it's without the Levim, and it's the same number what it was with the Levim.
So that was the regret.
So this is also one of the reasons that why God exactly at that time did the counting. Because he did it because this was exactly the time when it was the number without the Levim was equal to the number without the Levim, and everybody will ask the question, how is it that this is the same number? So the minute we ask the question, we get the answer, and then we see that there was a miracle, and while they were building the Mishkan, nobody died. Okay. Then we go on, and there is what we call...
So how long did it take them to build the Mishkan?
To build the Mishkan was a few months. Then we have in Perek Aleph, the end of Perek Aleph, Pasuk Nun Bet, Pasuk 52. V'chanu bnei Yisrael. Got it?
Yeah.
V'chanu bnei Yisrael. Ish al machaneu ve'ish al diglo. So, Am Yisrael was camping, each one with his camp, with his flag, and if you go to Perek Bet, Pasuk Bet, Ish al diglo ba'otot lebet avotam yachanu bnei Yisrael mineged saviv lo'el moed yachanu. Each one on his flag and signs to the home of their fathers, Am Yisrael was camping against, around Oel Moed. How many flags were there?
12.
12?
No.
74.
First of all, there were 12 tribes.
Yeah.
Then they were divided to four camps, each camp with three tribes. And this was a flag, other four flags. So you had four flags of the 16. Of the
16.
Because they were divided to four
groups.
Yeah, and each one of the groups had three tribes. So each one of the group had a flag by itself.
So it's now, 16.
So it's 4 plus 12. But then the Torah is telling us, Ish al diglo, which means, how many flags?
Each one.
That's Ish al diglo. Each one had a flag.
Each individual?
Yes, that's what's written. Ish al diglo. You can explain Ish al diglo that everybody was near the flag of his tribe. But the Torah wants to tell you something. Because this is obvious. That if I belong to this group, I will stay there near the flag of the group. So that if the Torah is telling us again, Ish al diglo, the Torah wants to tell us something. What is a degel? What is a...
It's a dit. It's a symbol from something. Like on Yom Ha'atzmaut, it's a symbol.
No. So what does it mean?
That
I belong to this flag, and this flag is something...
It's something that means something to me.
That means something to me. And it means an important thing, because if somebody, let's say, burns a flag of a country, he's going to go to jail. When you go to competition, when you go to the Olympics, and you win a game, and there are a few countries, the country that wins the game, their flag is getting up.
No, the Palestinians burned the flag from Israel and from the United States, and they don't go to jail.
Yes, because they do it in their own country. But if they will do it in America and they will burn the American flag, they will go to jail.
And in Israel, they get away with it.
Of course, yeah, they got away with everything. So we see that the idea of a flag is very important. Which, from one point of view, it sounds very stupid. Well, this piece of material.
It should mean such a.
What's the idea behind it? The idea behind it is that it's like a symbol, and it's something that you're looking up to. That's how normally the flag is up. It's not down. It's something that you look up. And it's the symbol of the ideals of this society that is around it. That's why even sport groups, they all have flags. In the army, all the units, they have flags.
The gays.
The
gays.
They also have a flag.
Today in the morning, we read...
Just showing you that...
Shalim, they are doing a balagam because it will be...
So you see that everybody makes a whole big deal out of a flag.
Yes.
And where did this all start? This is not a new invention. We read it now here in the Torah. So in other words, the Torah really invented the idea of flags. So, when we connect all those things together, we want to understand what is the Torah trying to tell us when the Torah is telling us that each one of us has got a flag. So if we say the flag is ideals, it's what I'm standing for, it's what I'm looking up to, it means that really, especially now in Sefirat HaOmer, when we're getting very close to Chag HaShavuot, the idea of understanding that each one of us got his own flag means that each one of us got special powers. Special powers that he can use in order to get a better person. In other words, each one of us has to have something to look up to. So, each one of us, what is he going to look up to? He has to see what are my abilities? What is my talent? What did God give me that I can really take it and let's put it in my ideal and build it up? If somebody's got a lot of wisdom, he can use the wisdom in order to do good to the world. Because we have to understand the idea is that we're not alone. In other words, we have our own flag. We have our own identity. We have our special talent. But it's all in order to put everything together with Am Yisrael. In other words, each one of us using his own personal potential to get together to be one. But in order to do this, we have to use our own potential and not look at the potential of somebody else. In other words, I have a different talent, I am a different person from the other. So I have to build myself in this point of view, but never forget that I'm not alone. So Ishal Diglo is really that each one of us has to build himself according to his own flag. He's got his own flag. And when we do this, this is one of the most important things in life. That's the idea of Sefirat HaOmer. Sefirat HaOmer is really what is building ourselves in with our personal power to become good human being. You see it, the importance of a flag is for example, we're talking about a flag, ideal. You like to, when you go abroad, you come to the airport and you see all those groups, they have those signs, like Shatiach HaMofef, or somebody's waiting for this family that is coming, and everybody is more than happy to see, oh, here I've got the flag that I can be with my own people. When you come to a foreign country and there is nobody there waiting for you, you don't feel so good. But if there is somebody with this flag standing there, it sounds stupid, but you feel good. Oh, here is my group. Here are my people. You feel secure. It's a good feeling. One of the important flags that we have today is the flag of Chabad. The people of Chabad that are in all those halls all over the world, and you come there,
amazing. And
you are alone, you don't know what to do, and suddenly there is a Bet Chabad there. There is this flag that you can go and be with your own people. And what they do is an unbelievable job. And this week, I really understood what it's all about, because we were talking in Beijing with one of the Chabad Shlichim, and he explained to us, I thought that the shlichut, that what they do is, like they go for a few years, and then they go home or go to a different place.
Yeah.
He says it's like a marriage. That's how the way he explained it. This is a job for life. Sometimes it doesn't work, so like in marriage, you can divorce, and you have a second shidduch. It happens sometimes. But the idea is that when you come, it's not that you're going to do it for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, no, that's not the idea. You're going to do it forever. In other words, if somebody decides to be a shaliach in Hong Kong, in Jakarta, in Johannesburg, wherever it is, it's not, I'm going for a journey and I'm going to come back. No. This is my life. This is where I'm going to be. So why is it this way? First of all, for a very simple reason. If they will, those shlichim will all the time change, nobody will really invest in the place he is. Because it's a temporary place, so, okay, they will build something, they will hold it, but they won't, let's say, do more than this. But, if you know, this is my home, I'm going to live here forever, now you're going, you want, everybody wants a nice home, and everybody wants nice, good connection where he lives, and a good house, and a nice house, and everything. So when the shaliach comes and knows from the beginning that here is my home now, I'm not going to go back to the States, I'm not going to back to Israel, only for a visit. My home, for example, in Beijing, is in Beijing. So then he told me about this rabbi that is in charge of the Chabad Beijing, which is the capital of China, so maybe he's also considered to be the chief rabbi of China, I don't know, I'm not going into it. But he told me, you see, the place that we were sitting, by the way, this is one of the nicest Beit Chabad in the world. It's big, it's nice, it's good food, you have a milky restaurant, you have a meaty restaurant, and you have a nice shul, and a lot of other things. It's in a nice building. This guy, he is renting the place, not the house. He built the house on a rented property. This is only one who thinks I'm going to stay here forever is going to do a thing like this. Because otherwise he would not invest in building this unbelievable building that cost him a fortune.
How many Jews are there? Donations.
They have to raise it themselves.
It's not like that the Rebbe sent them and told them, okay, here, take $1 million and build a house in Chabad. No, they go with nothing. They do everything with their own hands.
In the beginning, they helped them.
I don't know what they did in the beginning in the years.
They give them a minimum.
Yeah, but they don't get, it's not like they're giving money that they can do whatever they want to do. The idea is that they go to this country and they build, let's say, a certain, I don't know how to call it, it's not a business, but it is like a business. Because some people complain that they have to pay for the food in Chabad. And they don't realize that somebody has to pay for the things there. Somebody has to pay for it. No, I'm coming to this foreign country, I've got to, they should, what do you want? This guy, he's giving not only you food, he's giving, if somebody hasn't got money, he's going to get the food. Nobody's going to force him to pay if he hasn't got the money. Or nobody's going to send him away if he hasn't got the money to pay for the meal. But the idea is that even if they don't ask you to pay, you should pay. Because what they are doing now, they are really holding this place. So Jewish people from all over the world come to this foreign country and they have kosher food and they have all the facilities of a Jewish community, which is very good feeling and very good thing. So we have to feel, we have to support them and be very grateful for it.
We were in Venice and we went to Shabbat, to the Chabad. They put out these tables and they don't charge anything because it's Shabbat.
Yes.
And there was like 200 people there.
I know, the time, yes.
And, so, and we told them that we couldn't come back Shabbat because it was very hot in its fog and we couldn't go on the boat. So he packed us up food.
Yes.
We were six people, we ate. So then we said to them, we'll be back on Sunday. They said, you don't have to.
That's what I'm saying. But people should realize, because sometimes, you know, especially business people, sometimes you hear things that it's very hard to be killed. People don't realize, okay, maybe here and there they use this thing and they maybe take too much money for what they're giving. I don't know. But the places I went, the prices were very reasonable.
And he was the only, and he changed money for us. He gave us the best.
Because they see it as a shlichut. That's exactly the point. Mm-hmm. That's their flag. That's the idea. And when you come and you really the feeling. Now he told us also a very, very interesting thing, which is, he says you have to thank the kids and not us. Because the kids, think about it, those kids are growing up in a foreign country, no friends, they cannot eat what the others are eating, they are quite limited.
And how many Jews are there in Belgium? Living there?
I don't know how many Jews are there, but I know that the shul not alone come.
Over there they hired the Rebbetzin hired, brought somebody from Israel to teach the children.
There are a few girls that come there. Every time they are changing, they come for a year or for 2 years, I don't know.
Staten Island, I just read that the Chabad the shul was all desecrated.
In our town in Brazil, they sent the children to São Paulo to study.
So here, for
they stay in families' homes, you know.
Yeah. In Beijing, from what I understood, because Beijing is a big city. There is only one Bet Chabad, but there are Jews spread all over. So what they do, they have a shul that they teach. That's why they bring the girls to teach the Jewish kids in the school. It's not like a big school, but there is a school. So you see, they have to organize all those things. And if they come for a few years, they won't do it. Or let's say they won't do it in a proper way. But the minute that you know that's my home and that's what I'm doing, and this is the first time I realized really what's inside this idea. And think about the kids, really, those kids growing up in a foreign country. It's not easy. It's not. So he says you have to say thank you to our kids, not to us. But the real truth is, when he talked, whatever he said, I says the responsibility is yours. You know, you can talk from morning to night, but the responsibility of parents to take care of their little kids, and then they bring more kids to the world in this foreign country, is their responsibility. And parents love their children. So at the end of the day, the children, if you think for it from this point of view, the children are being born to this situation. So it's not so terrible as we look at it from outside. Because you have to realize, when you are born in a certain situation, you get used to it. I'm not saying, wow, it's easy, there is no problem. There is problem. It's not easy. It's not easy. But still, that's what they know. That's what they used to. They don't know anything else. Of course we have to say thank you to them. But I think at the end of the day, you have to say thank you more to the Shaliach himself. Because I'm sure that he loves the children.
He loves all the family.
And that's also written in our Parsha, Lebet Avotam. So I'm sure that he would love the idea that his children would live with other Jewish children in a nice environment. But he knows that's my shlichut. So he takes the responsibility and he does it, and it's really a big shkoyach to them. And I think that the gratitude and things, sometimes we take things that as granted. No, right. Okay, they are there, they're doing the job. But no, we have to understand really what's behind it. It's not an easy job, it's not an easy thing. So this is like each one of us, it's got his own mission. That's the idea that Parsha is telling us. Ish al diglo. Each one of us got his own mission. One's got a mission to help others in, let's say, in Tzedakah, to help others in teaching them. Everybody's got talents. Everybody's got abilities. And when we take all those abilities and put them together, that's Am Yisrael. That's the beauty of Am Yisrael. You know, I was going in Beijing one day, and the taxi we were driving with did an accident. And they started shouting at each other, and the taxi driver told us to get out. We paid him for what was then, and we got out. We're in the middle of town, the rush hour. Don't know what to do. No taxi wants to stop. Because some of them, even in the rush hour, there's something unbelievable. You see them, the taxi driver standing there, and they're playing. They have those tables, they're praying around. They don't want to drive at the rush hour. Because the rush hour in China, in Beijing, whatever it is, it's unbelievable. Also, the way they drive is unbelievable. So, like, my wife told me, maybe we'll take a car. And I said, I'm not taking any car. I'm not driving here. I have enough. I'm not going to drive here. Anyway, we're standing there. Nobody wants to stop. And then I want to show you how you look at people and you don't really understand sometimes how things work. Of course, God is there always. He's with us. And all those things are tests. Eventually, this taxi driver, we stop him, And he doesn't want to take us. So my son tells him, I'm going to pay you double. Like he shows him the money. And we've got no option. We don't know how to get. And eventually this taxi driver says, okay, go in. We get to the hotel and my son wants to pay what he promised him. He says, no. He gives him the change. I don't want it. Mm-hmm. And so you see from one side, this guy sent us out in the middle of nowhere. And the other guy, when he saw that we were needy, he wanted to help us. So he had this feeling, I'm not going to take more money. And you have to understand, some of them, they are taking you around just to take double the money, three times the money, says, because they say that those tourists are rich. But when it's come to this, to understanding that this guy needs you, suddenly you find humility. Suddenly you find that even there, in whatever it is, inside each one of us, there is something inside that is from God. And it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or you're Chinese. At the end of the day, we're all human beings. And we have to understand all this, also a big lesson for us. Some people think, I'm Jewish or I'm... I don't want to talk, not because we had other people saying things like this. And we know how it ended. We are the chosen people. But
not to be the
what's
best.
The mission? Why were we chosen? We were chosen to give the light, to bring the light to all nations. That's our job. The job is not Am Yisrael worshipping God and that's it. That's not the job. When we are going to receive the Torah in 2 weeks' time, we have to understand what is our job. And what is our job? First of all, each one of us to use the potential and to get together to be one unit, Am Yisrael, and to help the whole world. On Sukkot, we used to bring sacrifices in the temple for whom? For all the goyim, for all the 70 nations. So if somebody thinks for a minute that the Jewish nation is something up there in heaven and we don't care about others, he doesn't understand his job. Of course, everything starts from us. Before we fix the world, we have to fix ourselves. As we see now with all the election, everything is going on around, it's really sometimes it's unbelievable to see what's going on. It's also this, something, it's very hard to understand, how do we get to do the right thing? Because this world is sometimes so distorted, so, I don't know, verkrumpt, we say. I don't know what's going on in this world.
Yeah.
I told you, I think a few years ago, where was it? I don't know. Was this gorilla? I think I told you the story. Yeah. I even have the name of the gorilla.
Gorilla.
You know what a gorilla is?
I know.
You know a gorilla? Okay. 180 kilo, by the way. So this gorilla was called Barnaby or something. Where is the name? Hamby, whatever. Now, what was the story? In this zoo in Cincinnati, a kid fell to the cage of the gorilla.
Oh, yeah.
It was a first story all over the world. And the guards came and killed the gorilla in order to save the kid. The next day, the whole world was up there and wanted to take the parents to court. And the guards, how did they dare to kill the gorilla? And there was a Facebook group, and there was an Elbow group, and there was unbelievable. And when you look at this and you think, well, what's going on here?
To protect them.
180 kilo. If this gorilla was only by mistake doing like this to the kid, he was dead. She was a friendly gorilla. They talk so much nonsense. A gorilla is a gorilla. It's like, you know, this guy, a few weeks ago I heard this guy was went to the cage of the lions, and the lion ate him. He was treating, he was giving him food all the time. He went into the cage, they ate him.
And he fed him also, he was a good friend of his.
Yeah, a friend. Okay. You're a friend of the lion, okay. A very good friend. So in other words, you see this whole world is crazy. You know, this rabbi asked once, is another rabbi, was he asked him, I want to, you know, this world is divided to two kind of people. Do you know what it is? So this rabbi is standing and says, Rasha'im v'tzadikim? He says, no. Clever and stupid? No. Poor and rich? Whatever he said, no. He says, so what is it? He says, the world is divided into two groups, those who think and those who don't think.
Everyone what do you mean? Thinks.
What do you mean? He says, somebody who thinks, there is a chance that he will change his life and make himself better. Somebody who doesn't think, just runs on all the pleasures of this world, nothing is going to change them. And this is our power. Understand and realize, and to think about what we're doing. Is it right or is it wrong? This morning, somebody showed me, he was now in New York. I don't know how to, they went to the toilet, and on the toilet was a sign that if we want to explain it in simple words, there was not men and women, there was men and those who identified themselves of being men. And then there were women and those who identified themselves as being women. I'm not laughing. He showed me the sign. That using word, I don't remember the word he used in English, that are like, there is no migdar, how do you say it in English? There's no agenda or gender or whatever. Gender. There is no gender. You decide what you are. In other words, you go to the toilet and you will see men and women together. Why? Because they decided that they're the same. But this is the talk of it. It's Adag Ahava. That's exactly what's happening.
We're here in Israel now.
Yeah, but we haven't got in the toilet.
No, but the tzava.
You saw in the tzava?
Not in the tzava. This, he came back from the States, from New York.
No, I say this week.
What happened? Now they make this when somebody makes his enlistment to go to the tzava, they don't put anymore father and mother.
The name of the father.
You know, name, father, mother. They put gender one, gender two.
Oh, now it was in the newspaper.
Yeah. So what do you want in New York? You're talking about New York, the States, I tell you what, in Israel.
I tell you what I'm talking about. Oh, my God. We are being in Sfirat HaOmer now. And that's exactly our job. When we talk about the beastly side of us, the nefesh ha-be'emit, which we call, we started on the second day of Pesach with Korban HaOmer, which was from barley, which is a food of animals. And we getting into Shavuos, and then we have Shtei Lechem, the two bread that are from wheat, which is a food of human beings. But what's the idea? The idea is that we have to build ourselves. And we shouldn't behave like animals, but we are human beings, that we have an neshama and a body, and the body is the beastly part of us. Sometimes the beastly part is in control on the spirit, it's control on the neshama, which is wrong, of course. So what we are really doing in Sfirat HaOmer, as we say, Ishal Diglo, each one of us with his own flame, we have to get out with our own tools from the situation of being an animal. Like doing whatever I want to do, to eat, to drink, to enjoy all the materialistic things of life, like an animal, and build myself to be a human being. And when we look around, it's getting more and more difficult. That you get to a point that what is not normal is normal. And what is normal is not going to be, is not normal anymore. So, when we are thinking about Ishal Diglo, what is the thing that we can really put a finger on is Misaviv Le'oel Moed Yachanu. All the flags, all the ideas, all the potential we have, it all has to go around what? Oel Moed. What is Oel Moed? The Torah. The tent of the Torah, where the Torah is. In other words, if we are building ourselves and in front of us is the Torah, we are on the good way. But if we're building ourselves for ourselves and the Torah is not there, so we can look around and see what's happening. This is really, I always remember this talk. They say the Queen of England came to this, how do you call it, Meshugayim, Bet Meshugayim, to the
lunatic asylum.
And then she goes around and comes this crazy lady that she says she is the Queen of England. So she comes to this lady, says, "I'm the Queen of England." Says, "No, I'm the Queen of England." Says, "You're not normal." Says, "You're not normal." And thinking about it, who is not normal? But if you're in the place of Meshugayim, who is normal? The Meshugayim are normal. No. Those who come from outside are not normal.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening today. What was normal yesterday, if you're in a Bet Meshugayim, so the Meshugayim are the norm. The other norm are the normal. We are not normal. So sometimes we can lose our direction. Really, it's not easy. Think about it. There are so many things that, let's say, 40 years ago, we wouldn't even think about it. For us, it was very clear. Today, you don't really know what to do. Don't really know what to think. And the influence is there. We have to understand, because a lot of people talk for it.
Yeah.
It's not like that everybody agrees that this is not normal or this is not allowed. No.
Some think it's normal and some...
They say it's normal, they say it's allowed, and as you say, and that's the Utna, you will have the gender, you can write whatever you want.
But that's being kind to your fellow man.
You see, this is exactly the point.
You're not discriminating.
This is exactly the point. Talking about discrimination. There is this coffee house in...
Neve Zemer.
He decided to become kosher.
That's where we go.
So the neighborhood said they went against him. They're not going to go and eat there. And you're telling me they're talking about fiadatit. They're talking about the religion is forcing on people to do things. What are they doing now? And by the way, it's not that they're always doing it. It's not like they talk nicely, but when it comes to the real point, you're talking about everybody should do what he wants, you shouldn't force us to do things like this, you're forcing the religion on us. What do you do now? You're forcing your ideas on this guy who doesn't want to open on Shabbos. Is it his right or not? If it was the opposite way, wow, fiadatit. But this is okay. And that's exactly the thing. To help people, to do the good in the eyes of God, is to do the good in the eyes of God, not in my own eyes. What I think is good is not always good. It's a problem, that's what I'm saying. It is a big problem today. Because when we look around, look at the Eurovision contest.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk.
That's better.
But really, sometimes you see things that are a disgrace. And the world looks at it
normal.
Not only normal, it's like
beautiful.
It's beautiful. They are proud to be like this.
Yeah.
The people from Iceland, I saw only this a photograph.
Okay, this is a political.
They
we're not talking about politics.
No politics. How they were dressed and how they were sitting there with this naked body and with tattoos and all the and the hair like this, and they are a symbol from a country.
We must finish the shiur because I have another shiur, so I want to end this the shiur with how do we get the Torah? Torah is Torah be'esh b'mayim b'midbar. One of the midrashim on our parsha says that to receive the Torah it's with fire, water, and desert. What is fire, water, and desert? And this is a very good lesson, a very important lesson to understand and realize everything we talked till now. Say fire can burn you. Fire is the fire of desire. Water can drown you, as we see in the Mabul, in the flood. Water is also lust that goes everywhere. Desert is a place where you can die. But all those things can also go to the other side. Fire can be the fire of desire to worship God. The water is the Torah. And the desert is a place. What do you want in the desert? The desert is for everybody. It's hefker. Everybody can go there. The Torah also is for everybody. And then there is a very interesting point. At the desert, there is nothing there. What is the most important thing you want in the desert?
Water.
What is water? Torah. Now, what is the idea about receiving the Torah in the desert? On the Mount of Sinai.
Because you need help. There's nothing.
When you go in the desert, if you go to the, I always say, if you go on Kvisha Arava, and you park the car, you're going to Eilat, park the car on the side, and go the right, that's the right side, not the left side, okay? The right side, you go for, let's say, 200 meters. Look around you, you will feel like this. You will see the greatness of the desert, of the creation. And you will feel God. That's in the desert. When you see the mountains, so God is doing, you see this, all this greatness, and God decides to give the Torah on the Mount of Sinai, which is the lowest mountain of all the mountains. Because God wants to show us that from one side, the Torah is the greatest thing that you can have. But how you receive the Torah is from humbleness. That's Mount of Sinai. So, if we want to receive the Torah, the fire should go for the lust of receiving the Torah. And we have to be thirsty for the Torah, like we are in the desert thirsty for water. So this is why, in fire, water, and the desert, we receive the Torah. And we have to understand and realize that there is another fire, which we see around us, and it's burning very hard, and we have to be very careful. And this is why we should look sometimes and think, as we said, this rabbi thought, said, there are two kinds of people, those who think and those who don't think. And what is human being? Human being is a thinker. So we have to think what is good and what is bad. Now, we cannot think by ourselves, that's why we have the Torah, to make us straight and to see what is the right way and not the wrong way. So opening the Sefer Bamidbar, I think that each one of us got a job. Ishal Diglo, each one of us got a flag. But we have to remember that this flag and all the flags are united around Oel Moed, around the Torah. And only then, if they're around the Torah, we will find the right way and do the good in the eyes of God. Go ahead.